Last week we were talking about getting back to the basics of faith. Talking about faith. Talking about starting 2020, recommitting to some basics of faith. And I shared the scripture out of Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, where Paul was saying, you know, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forgetting those things. And if you recall Paul's life, you know what all he did. You know how he terrorized and the church, the early church in those days. And he you know how, but then he had a transformation. And his transformation was so complete that he could say that phrase, I've done no man any wrong. When he had done plenty. But he was such a different person. Such a transformation took place in his life. That he could say it and it was true. Because last week we talked about that new creation. What we've become in Christ Jesus. How we've become a new creation. Listen, we cannot let our past determine our future. People, we can get so wrapped up in our past. And we can even have a good past. And sometimes we can dwell on that. And it's like we're resting on that. You know? It's like we're relying on that. You know, we had a good past. We can rest there. No. We got to look ahead. We got to look to what is before us. What if Paul had not done this? My goodness. How much of this word would we not have today? What if it hadn't happened in me? I wouldn't be here today. What if it hadn't happened in you? When you got born again, where would you be? But thank God we're a new creation in Christ. So let us recognize our faith in Christ in that new beginning. That new beginning. Even now, in 2020, as we start soaring through this year, personally and corporately, let's grab hold of this and understand that we have a new beginning. We have a fresh start. The fresh and new has come. Let us forget those things. Put them behind us. Let's press on. Let's press on in this year. If we back up just a few verses to verse 9, how do we do this? It says in verse 9 in Philippians chapter 3, it says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And that's what I want to talk about today. That's what I want to focus on. This morning is righteousness. Listen, your understanding of righteousness is key to your right living. It's key. The righteousness of God by faith in Christ. These are basics of faith that we got to get back to, that we got to keep before us, but keep before our mind's eye. Keep in our heart. You are made righteous by faith in Christ. You are in right standing with God by faith in Christ, through and only by your faith in Christ. That's why we as Christians, we can stand with confidence and say that Jesus is the only way. We can be confident in that, knowing that Jesus is the only one way to God, and that it is through faith in Him. And once this becomes a revelation to you, that you are in right standing with God, then you're free from guilt and condemnation. You have to understand that. That has to be revelation. That has to drop down in your heart, take root, so that it can bear fruit in your life. Because if not, then you're gonna succumb to your past. You're gonna live in the guilt of your past. You're gonna live in condemnation of your actions and words. And shame. But what does Paul say? The one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Reaching forth. That's what we talked about last week. Being that new creation in Christ. And really, this is the foundation of the gospel. This is the foundation of the gospel message. And without understanding this truth, I don't know if you can understand anything else in the new covenant. I really don't. Because if you don't believe this truth, then you're still operating under the law and not under grace. If you don't believe the truth of righteousness, then you're still operating under the law and not of grace. If you're trying to pursue righteous living without understanding righteousness, then you're just performing works. You're no better than the Pharisees and the scribes. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. And let me give you that reference. Matthew 5, verse 20. For I tell you, unless your righteousness, your uprightness, and your right standing with God is more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That ain't me speaking. That's the word of God. We have to understand righteousness. We have to have a revelation of our righteousness. Because if we don't, then you're not operating under grace. You're trying to work your way into the kingdom of God rather than living in it. And Jesus came so that we could live in it, so that we could have life and life more abundantly. Luke 17, you don't have to turn out, I'll just read it, verses 20 and 21, says, the kingdom of God does not come with signs to be observed or with visible display. Nor will people say, look, here it is, or see, it is there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts, and among you, surrounding you. The kingdom of God is within you. When we get a revelation of that, when we have an understanding of that, it brings a new meaning to Jesus' model prayer that he gave to the apostles, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. His kingdom has come. And it's inside of you when you're born again. Transforms us. I think people pray that prayer thinking that they're waiting on Jesus' second advent. To bring the kingdom of God with him. But the kingdom lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. It's in you right now. And you have access to that abundant life that Jesus died to give you. But many of us, and this is when I sense this, that overwhelming pressure of burdens on people in here this morning. That's not abundant life. That's not living the abundant life that Jesus died to give us. Many of us are leaving that abundant life behind for a life of bondage. We just read it when we did the offering. God brought Israel out of Egypt. Egypt being a type of the world today. He brought them out of Egypt, delivered them into the land flowing with milk and honey. He has brought you out of the world. When you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, he's brought you out of the world, out of that world of bondage, and given you a new life, a fresh start. You're no longer in bondage. You have no business to be in bondage to the things of the world. Bondage to works. Bondage to your past. Bondage to your occupation. Bondage to this world and this world's God. And we know who this world's God is. Satan himself. But if we don't understand who we are in Christ, our righteousness. I know I talk about this a lot. I talk about our righteousness a lot. I guess that's just what the Lord has me sharing at this point is we have to understand, as a church, Christian Growth Center, we have to understand our righteousness. Because we are a strategic church put here for a purpose for this valley. But if we don't understand our righteousness, if we go do anything in our community, that's just a work. Listen, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We sing about it, right?
There is freedom.
Well, where is the Spirit of the Lord? Why aren't we free? Why? I'm jumping because I'm trying to bang it into myself too. And I believe why this is so strong on my heart, because there have been burdens on me. And I know better. I don't need to carry those burdens around. I don't need them to keep me up at night, toiling in my mind. Anybody lacking sleep? Because your mind won't rest. If where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and He lives on the inside of us, there ought to be freedom in us. Freedom in your life. Freedom in and all around you. And when you get set free, guess what? It sets you free to set others free. When you are free, when you are walking in the light of the gospel, and you are understanding your righteousness, man, people are drawn to that. They're drawn to it. Sometimes I think we think of evangelism as, you know, we got to go and knock on doors and convince people. I'm telling you, if you're walking in your freedom, there's not a whole lot of convincing you got to do. People will see it and they'll be drawn to it. The Spirit of the Lord sets you free. And He multiplies that. He'll multiply that. As the Word is sown in your heart, God will multiply that Word sown, and it will produce much fruit in your life. You know, you hear people talking about the parable of the sower, the 30, the 60, the 100. And I know they use that for offerings a lot. But He's not specifically talking about finances right there. He's not. He's talking about the Word sown in the ground of your heart. And it's so key. I revisit this parable at least every year at the beginning of the year. I revisit this parable. I study it. Why? Because Jesus said, if you don't understand this one, you can't understand any of the parables. Any of the words that I'm saying, you won't be able to understand if you don't understand this parable. So I think it's pretty important to understand the parable of the sower. Mark 4:13, that's where he says, and he said to them, do you not discern and understand this parable? How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all parables? If you want to understand what Jesus taught, then the key is understanding this particular one. Seems to be to me. So what is he saying to us in this parable? You know, I find one thing amazing. That any time out of this parable that the seed is sown in good ground, guess what happens? It produces. It produces. Any time that a seed, the Word of God, is sown into good ground, and let's consider the good ground being the ground of your heart. Anytime the Word of God is sown into the good ground of your heart, it produces. It produces. So to me, the question is not how do we get it to multiply? Because we already know from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that not only does God supply the seed, but He'll multiply the seed sown. Verse 10, it says, now he God that ministereth, which means provides the seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So we have to understand our righteousness for the fruits to be increased. Do you see that correlation? So the question is not how do we multiply the word in our life, but or how do we increase our fruit production. But how do we prepare the ground so that it's good ground? How do we prepare the ground of our heart so that we know it's good ground so that when the word is sown, it'll produce 30, 60, 100 times? And we understand that he's talking about our hearts here because in verse 15 of Mark 4 says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. The ground he's talking about is your heart. So how do we prepare the ground of our heart? Because we know if it's good ground, then the word will multiply 30, 60, 100 times. We got a couple farmers in here, don't we? Gene, you plant corn, don't you, every year? Do you plant one kernel per plant? Is that how it works? How does it work? Three seeds per? Educate me here. I'm three seeds per hill, and that sprouts one stalk?
No, each seed sprouts one stalk.
Each seed sprouts one stalk. So according to my calculations and what I've studied is, and that produces an ear, right? Each ear can have as many as 800 kernels, if you want to get technical, in 16 rows. 800 kernels. One kernel of corn planted in the ground, good ground, can produce 800 in one ear. Can you get multiple ears on one stalk? What's the most number of ears you've seen on one?
Three.
I read that. I said it says if the conditions are right and there's plenty of sunlight, nutrients, water, what all, it can produce more than one ear per, I'm going to say stalk. I don't know if that's a technical term. That is multiplication. That's what he's talking about. You see, he's teaching in parables that people understand. So when you put that one kernel in the ground, man, you're talking as many as 3 ears on one stalk, 800 per, that's what, 2,400 kernels produced from one. That's multiplication. And that is what he wants to do in us with his word. So how do we prepare the ground of our heart? Well, one, we believe. We have to believe. And when we believe, then we have to receive, right? We have to take it. And then when we receive, then we achieve. And we have all that the Word says that we can have. Sounds like faith, doesn't it? Verse 20, that same chapter says, and these are, well, what chapter am I in? I think Mark 4. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and then achieve it. They bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I believe the only way that we're going to achieve anything in our own life and here at Christian Growth Center is if we receive what God says we can have, receive it, believe it, and then achieve it. Or believe it, receive it, and then achieve it. Believe in your own life that you are the righteousness of God, and He will do super abundantly more than you can ask or think. That's understanding your righteousness, your right standing with God. That's what He will do. That's how He multiplies. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to Him who by in consequence of the action of His power that is at work in us, within us, is able to carry out His purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above, all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. And all we got to do is prepare the ground. We don't have to figure out how to do it. We don't have to figure out how to get it. We just receive it. But we got to prepare the ground of our heart. And I believe that preparation is understanding our righteousness. That's part of it. Understanding what Christ died for. Look, He died for so much more than just getting you a ticket to heaven. So much more. I mean, that's all right. Hey, I'm saved. I'm going to be in a place different than that other place. I'm not going to share in hell and the lake of fire, which is a real place. And real people were going there. Some of them you know. But you're not going there. And that's great. That's wonderful. That's tremendous. That is the benefit of receiving Christ. But He died for so much more. He wants you to have abundant life now. Now. Here in this earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom has come, has taken up space in your heart. It dwells in your heart. So His will needs to be done in this earth, now, here. That's what Jesus died for also. Abundant life in this earth. God's will done in this earth. All we have to do is prepare the ground to receive it. I believe it's time to live in freedom. I believe it's time, church. The church, I'm telling you, maybe you've been watching and hearing and seeing, and I'm not from a negative aspect of what's going on in the world, but just some things lining up prophetically. It's time to live in freedom. It's time to witness God's will being done in this earth through us. We can't just sit back and watch it happen. We have to participate. It's time to lay aside our religion for abundant life. Abundant life. What does that mean to you? Last week we shared that He's given everybody a measure of faith. What does that abundant life mean to you? And it's not going to mean the same to the person beside you. It's going to look different from the person beside you. What does abundant life mean to you? I still sense those burdens. I do. And I believe the Lord can use us right where we are. But I believe there's a greater measure available when those burdens are released.